hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network on this Thursday. What do I still keep thinking? Today's Friday. Is that wishful thinking? It is the 7th of February, 2008. And I want to play a couple of clips here. One is from 60 Minutes. And this is the Comptroller of the United States. You think Ron Paul has a hard time telling people about the Federal Reserve and the debt that we're in? Well, to get a greater understanding of this, you've got to understand the frustration of this comptroller. Politicians do not want to talk to him. Why? It's that syndrome of whistling through the graveyard. There is economic death all around them, and they do not want to speak, of which they cannot do anything about. But wait a minute. They were partly responsible for getting us into it, which led me to the astonishing thought that the very people that need to do something about the problem don't even want to discuss the problem when they are, for the most part, the reason why we are in so much debt in this country. Aside from using the Federal Reserve System, the credit boys. It is one thing to have a credit system and money loaned at interest from a private consortium. But it is another thing about fiscal responsibility. So we're going to touch on that a little bit, and hopefully to try to bring this into some semblance, because, folks, the figures are thrown at us daily. Millions and billions and trillions and, oh my, what does it all mean? Well, we'll give you a few examples here on how exactly to try to cram this into our skull so that we have some perspective on things. Not an easy task. It is a daunting task. Just ask any of our favorite little politicians in the District of Criminals up there in Washington, D.C. So we will do that today. We'll also open up the phones today as well at 800-313-9443. And I'm going to get into a lot of stuff today. And I hope that you will stick through me through this broadcast. By the way, I have to make an announcement here. And I hope I get this right. If not, my engineer will correct me. We've been experiencing archive problems. To my knowledge, not problems on the internet streams. Some of you might be experiencing problems out there. We've upgraded the system out there. They went to install the programs, and on their computer systems, it crashed. So that problem will be addressed this evening after 11 p.m., and hopefully, we've been dealing with this now for 3 days, hopefully it will be rectified. I think the one thing we did with the company that we deal with, they had one of their software engineers, well, basically not tell the truth, and he got caught in his own lies by his own emails he was sending us. So at any rate, they recognize the problem, they recognize the person that caused the problem, and hopefully that problem will be remedied tonight. So thank you all for hanging in there with us. We'll take this break, come back, and get started with this Thursday edition of the National Intel Report with yours truly, Mike Huckabee. No, John Stattmiller. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
I am struggling with a computer here. I'm telling you what, this has not been friendly towards me in the last couple of days, and I'm about ready to pull my hair out here. At any rate, let me see if I can't get this thing up. You know, we talk a lot about money and debt, and people understand finances in their own realm. They understand their income. They understand what they have to pay out. Yeah, it's pretty simple arithmetic. Remember the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic? Well, most of us have gained enough knowledge in our defunct school systems to at least add and subtract and multiply. But a lot of people don't and cannot fathom when we are talking about millions, when most of us think in terms of hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars. When you bump it up to economic spending at a national level, we talk millions, billions, and even trillions of dollars. And that in itself is pretty scary stuff. But we have a disconnect when it comes to cognitively thinking about that amount of money. You know, what does that mean? You know, how much money are we talking about here? I mean, money is money, isn't it? Well, we talk about devaluation, which is actually the code word for inflation. Inflation is eating up everything in this country, folks, and that is because of the root problem, the credit system that has been created and wrapped up in a nice little bow and given us to us by Congress in 1913 of last century. Having said all that, desperately treading water here, trying to get my computer to cooperate. We will do that during the next break, I suppose. Let me get into this. Greenback has lost 30% of its value in the last 7 years. 30%. The greenback is falling against almost everything, even Iraq's dinar. Both Bernanke's rate cuts and Bush's tax rebate plan have somewhat of a fruity odor to them. The tax rebates, for example, will not return any money to its rightful owners. The U.S. government can't afford it. Instead, they'll send out checks to 117 million people, including many who never paid any taxes into it in the first place, encouraging people who have already spent too much to spend ever more money. Well, where will the money come from? Well, the Bush and Bernanke team, they ain't saying. They're so eager to avoid a serious correction that they're throwing caution to the wind, and the U.S. dollar as well. Let fly whatsoever it wouldst, as long as it goes down. Besides, who cares? Most of the world's dollar reserves are held by foreigners, and foreigners don't vote in U.S. primary elections, do they? It may be our dollar, Treasury Secretary John Conley once shrewdly observed, but it's your problem. Thank you, Mr. Conley. But overseas, greenback holders are beginning to notice the tropical flavor of U.S. finances. The dollar has lost 30% of its purchasing power during the last 7 years alone. Against gold, oil, and other key commodities and other major currencies, it is down much, much more. In many sunny places with shady finances, there must seem to be an all-too-familiar pattern. The banana republics did business this way themselves, running up huge debts to overseas lenders, selling off their capital assets to foreign savers, printing money by the boatload, and generally making themselves look foolish. Now, the Ketchevers are labeling the United States as the world's largest banana republic. One calls the dollar a Bernanke peso, another says the United States is following Zimbabwe economics. The Daily Reckoning. They have been critical of the U.S. economy in the past, but today we rise not to carp and criticize, but to defend it. The United States has little in common with a banana republic. It has no bananas. It's not a republic. And whether it is not as good. That said, there are similarities. Real wages for men and women are lower today than they were 37 years ago. Robert Reich, former Secretary of Labor, writing in the Financial Times, explains that Americans were only able to increase their standards of living by putting their wives to work, putting in more hours on the job, and finally, going deep in debt. And how did they do that? Credit cards, folks. Loans, equity loans out of their houses. There's no more in that little cash box. They can't use their houses anymore like they would use ATMs. That party is over. In the past 7 years of the Bush administration, the federal debt increased by two-thirds while U.S. household debt doubled. Despite all this, extra spending, median real incomes have continued to go down. Practically all new jobs have been created either by government or in housing, health care, bars or restaurants, jobs in manufacturing are now at levels not seen since just after World War II. This is the profile of a third world economy, says former Undersecretary of Treasury Paul Craig Roberts. How does an economy like this keep going? It depends on the kindness of strangers and the stupidity of friends. Who but a fool or a friend would buy a U.S. 30-year Treasury bond at 4.28% yield? This number is only a few basis points from the number of annual increases in consumer prices, which means, if all goes well, investors can expect to make a return of zero on their investment over the next 30 years. And if all this talk of Zimbabwe economics and Banana Republic finances turn out to be true, they can expect to suffer another round of losses measured in trillions. And why shouldn't it be true? The American empire is a bit like General Motors, says Martin Hutchinson. It has heavy fixed cost, an aging workforce, worn-out equipment, mammoth debts, and is losing market share. At immediate cost, America maintains its legions in more than 100 overseas garrisons. At home, the mob calls for bread, and every candidate for office, save the forgotten man, Dr. Ron Paul, offers more of it. We cannot afford another year without decent wages because our leaders could not come together and get it done. That's the wonderful thinking of Mr. Barack Obama in South Carolina. GM, of course, well, they can't print money. But as Ben Bernanke himself put it, the United States, like Zimbabwe, where inflation is running about 150,000%, has a technology called the printing press. What can you expect? We would modestly predict that the 30-year T-bonds, sometime between now and 2048, when they mature, will become worthless. Thank you, Mr. Bernanke. Maybe sooner rather than later, because both friends and strangers are wising up, the Gulf states have the largest foreign currency reserves in the world. But at the end of November, Sultan Nasser al-Suwaidi, governor of the Central Bank of UAE, told the Wall Street Journal, "The connection of the dollar has contributed much to our economy in the past. Nevertheless, we come to bifurcation, they like to call it. Kuwait already switched away from the greenback. For its reserves, it now uses a basket of different currencies. Meanwhile, China is said to have about 70% of its $1.5 trillion pile in U.S. dollars." Vice President of the Popular National Congress said, "In terms of structure of our international reserves, we must take advantage of the appreciation of strong currencies in order to offset the depreciation of weak currencies. Sell the buck," must have whispered his broker. And even in the formerly weak currency zone of Latin America, the home of real banana republics, by the way, the dollar is wilting. Central banks in Argentina, Peru, and Colombia have had to intervene to hold up the greenback, according to Mario Bonson in the Buenos Aires paper, La Nación, excuse me, my Spanish is not that good. There's no precedent for such an intense sell-off of reserve currency. Usually, it's their own pesos, reals, colones, and australs that people are laughing at. Now, it's the gringo notes that get the punchlines. That was from Bill Bonner, The Daily Reckoning in Australia. And it's true. Now, folks, we got a serious problem here because nobody wants to address the problem. That's the number one problem, aside from the fractionalized reserve banking in this country, aside from the ever-promising politicians in Washington, D.C., thanks to all the entitlement gurus like Franklin Delano, really was a card-carrying communist, and Mr. Wealth Distribution of Self, himself, LBJ, the second part of the New Deal, these entitlements have become part of the American psyche, that somehow Americans, just by birthright in this country, seem to feel and demand that they have a free ride. But the only problem is that free ride is coming off your sweat and your labor. You know, let us not forget a little immortal words here of Senator Hillary Clinton, another card-carrying communist. You know, she was asked on ABC's This Week about, you know, this universal coverage, this health care coverage, how are you going to pay for this? And her simple response, well, I think there are a number of mechanisms that are possible, including going after people's wages and automatic enrollment. Whether you want the national health care system or not, I'm going to enroll you in it. And then just start taking it out of your check, whether you want it or not. How do you like them apples, folks? Socialism shoved right square in your face. How do you like that? And stupid people out there, majority of them women, are going to vote for Mrs. Clinton. Oh boy.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
We're out of breath, we're punch drunk, we're out of gas, folks. We've been beat up stupid and turned out, rode hard and put up wet. Well, I want to play this to try to bring this into a perspective of money and how much money we're really talking about. As I said, most households in America, we think of in terms of paychecks and mortgages and hundreds and thousands of dollars, not millions, billions, and trillions. This will kind of put it a little bit more into perspective, because I know when you say $1 trillion, most people don't even know how much $1 trillion is. Well, it's a million. That's how much $1 trillion is. And the the mortgage markets are a little over $2 trillion in the hole. I think that's going to add up to a little bit more than a couple of million people losing their homes this year. Let me play this clip. Hopefully this will bring a little bit of cognitive reasoning to the subject of what we're really talking about.
Most people understand the value of $100 and even $1 million. But when we start talking billions and trillions of dollars, while most people struggle to comprehend the enormity of such figures, we hear these numbers mentioned every day in the media. $1 trillion deficits, $1 billion write-offs, the cost of the war and foreign aid. Let's try to put some perspective on it. Our national debt is measured in trillions of dollars, but let's just look at paying off $1 billion of U.S. debt. If we paid $1 every second of every day, it would take 31 years, 259 days, 1 hour, 46 minutes, and 40 seconds just to pay off $1 billion in U.S. debt.
I got the 40 seconds covered.
To pay off $1 trillion of debt at $1 a second would take about 32,000 years. The current national debt is over $9 trillion and climbing. Time is a great way to put perspective on things. Are you older or younger than a billion seconds? Well, a billion seconds ago, it was 1959. If you were born in the 60s, you're younger than a billion seconds. About a billion minutes ago, the Roman Empire was in full swing. 1 billion minutes is about 1,900 years. About a billion hours ago, we were living in the Stone Age. 1 billion hours is about 114,000 years. About a billion months ago, dinosaurs walked the Earth. 1 billion months is about 82 million years. A billion inches would stretch more than halfway around the Earth's surface. If you sat down and started counting from 1 to 1 billion and did so for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop, it would take you 95 years to finish. This is a $1,000 bill. Now, most people don't even recognize the bill or the president on it. That's President Grover Cleveland, the 22nd and 24th president of the United States. Now, ironically, Cleveland vigorously pursued policies barring spending federal money on special interest groups, vetoing bill after bill that attempted to spend the people's money. Federal aid in such cases encourages the expectation of paternal care on the part of the government and weakens the sturdiness of our national character. Maybe he knew something that we didn't. A tightly packed stack of crisp new Cleveland $1,000 bills totaling $1 billion would soar 63 miles high into the Earth's atmosphere. In comparison, commercial jet planes fly at 30,000 to 40,000 feet, which is about 7.7 miles high maximum. $1 billion for some was just 8 hours and 20 minutes ago, and that's just the interest. Here's a chart provided by the U.S. government illustrating the national debt versus our gross domestic product. Study it closely and draw your own conclusions about the health of the nation. Just a side note, the dollars of debt noted on the side of the diagram are in trillions of dollars. Click here to watch a short video on 60 Minutes about the national debt.
And I will play that after the break. And again, this is the comptroller for the Office of Management and Budget, that he just can't talk to any Congress critters up there because, well, they don't have ears to hear. So what has the guy had to do? Well, he's gone to private organizations, think tanks, CEOs of corporations, anybody that will listen to him. And he's employed by the federal government, paid by your tax dollars. Let me go to the phones here. Mark in Texas. Hello, Mark. He's not there. Did I refresh my screen or did you not refresh my screen? Okay, we got Paris in Illinois. Is that right? Okay, hello, Paris.
Hey, yeah, I have some news for you. Nick Romney has dropped out of the race.
Yeah, I know, I've heard. And
that's some great news.
Well, it's the immediate great news. I'm looking. How many do we need delegates to be nominated for the GOP? I think we need about 1,200 in the Republican Party. So far, he's got 42 delegates. But the good part of this, and I was going to mention that on today's program, thanks for bringing it up, Paris, is that we only got three guys left, Mr. Huckabee, Mr. Paul, and, of course, our vaunted guy from Arizona, Mr. McCain. So that equates to more FaceTime and more airtime for the next debate.
Yeah, and I think they can't control, you know, the media. It's like what we should do right now, I think we'd have a prayer bomb or something. I think we can beat this revolution by praying. That's the only way, personally. It's like George Washington and Valley Forge, you know. It's a great time of need to be praying. We got through it.
Well, yeah. Prayer is a good thing, but action is required with the prayer. Prayer itself will not net you too much. It'll make you feel a little bit better, but God gave us the ability to make choices, And we need to start making the hard and fast choices right away. Thanks, Paris. Appreciate your call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Let me take another call here, and then I want to go to this clip from 60 Minutes from the Comptroller of the United States, talking, but nobody's listening. And the only other guy that has been on a national platform that has been speaking about the Federal Reserve has been our own Dr. Ron Paul. Clarence in Oklahoma. Hello, Clarence.
Hey, John.
Hi.
Yeah, you caught me. This is very germane to what I'm doing right now. I am filling out my taxes so that George Bush can get his cut. And real fun. And I was thinking about what you were saying. It is amazing. I never thought... We are worse off than we were 30 years ago. I know it. I'm about your age. And I was in the military, went in 71, and I got paid $110 a month starting out. And I had money left over at the end of the month. Of course, they provide a lot of stuff, granted.
Sure.
But within 4 months of going in, they doubled our pay because they were getting ready to end the draft. And they knew they'd better start paying, you know, market rates or something close to get people to join. I thought I was rich back then. But nowadays, I'm retired, and looking at the numbers, I retired from civil service, looks real nice, but I can barely make my check stretch from month to month.
And that, my friend, is only going to get worse because their dreaded inflation, or actually devaluation of the currency, is going to continue to eat at your resource.
And there's a, and it's an interesting way they do it. And I'm glad I can't get a hold of any of my Congress critters. Or I'd let them know about it. I'd give them an earful because they gave us, the military and the active employees got a 3.5% raise this year. People on Social Security and people such as myself, we got that, that doctored up, what do you call it, inflation deal from the Labor Department.
Mm-hmm.
2.3%.
Oh, they're putting the inflation rate at 2.3%.
That's what they placed our raise at.
Well, don't you feel much better? And you keep checking your bank account because by the end of the month, I'm sure you're going to have more money in there.
Well, guess what? You'll like this one, John. I checked my first check that I had that raise on. I cleared $8 less than I did in December. You know why? I kept my medical insurance. They raised the premiums.
And everything is going to... Just as a little side note, you're watching the consolidation of the airlines in this country, which I said was going to happen. You're going to see banks consolidating. You're going to see a lot of businesses consolidating for survival. I think it's Northwest and Delta that are going to merge, and Delta Airlines, for the longest time, a non-union shop. Their employees were very, very happy, and they always ran in the black. Well, they've been running in the red. But now when you travel, you're only allowed one bag. If you want extra baggage, it's going to be $25 charge because they're experiencing kind of an inflationary pressures as far as fuel prices go.
I saw that in the newspaper the other day. Fortunately, I don't travel by air very much.
Well, there's a lot of people that do, but there's going to be a whole lot less people that are going to, which is only going to exacerbate and continue to put pressure on the American airlines.
There's going to be a whole lot of people doing a lot less of everything.
That's right.
This thing proceeds. And
I'll
tell you, when I drive down here, I drive south to my old work area, the base here, the Air Force base, and we had a General Motors plant. I was driving by there the other day. I haven't been down that way in a long time. But to see that plant sitting there empty, and has been for the last 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they built it. I watched them build it from my vantage point there on the base because you could see it from there. And now there it sits. Make a great hay barn.
Well, I'll tell you what. Back in the 70s, I saw what General Motors was doing with their... They started a program, they called it world-class quality. They were going to build a world-class quality car. And I thought, that's an interesting term. Seeing as how the majority of their markets are here in the United States, world-class quality car could mean that, well, we're going to build one better than the Japanese do. And by far they were back in the 70s, even then. But I paid very close attention to what they were saying. And then it hit me one day like a ton of bricks. I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not going to have a job here in less than a year. And lo and behold, because of, well, cost of manufacturing, they used a term, cost intensive. You know, manufacturing their own little widgets to make their components for the assembly of their cars was too much for them to handle. They couldn't keep a handle on it, so they had to start farming this stuff out. First, it went to job shops outside of General Motors here in the United States. Then those job shop jobs disappeared here. They went to Mexico and other low-cost labor countries while still selling their cars and not giving you a discount because they have realized, the manufacturing cost on their end had decreased, but they never passed the savings off into you. But then it really dawned on me one day. I thought, you know what? We're going to get the axe. What I didn't expect... Back in the 70s, late 70s, it was about 84, 85, where they said, in order to bring our cost into line, you know, we've got to downsize and streamline things a little bit here. Just in Michigan alone, 30,000 GM employees lost their job like that. And it's been continual that way for General Motors and Ford for many, many years. And it's sickening to watch because these are the people that bought houses in the communities, that spent their money into the local economies, that kept things going. that kept the tax base, you know, up for the cities to provide services and all of these other things. All gone. All of it gone. And yet we have these people in Washington, D.C., self-satisfied, smug individuals that they are, just ignoring the dissolution of this entire country. And it breaks my heart.
It's a sad thing to watch, and I didn't think I would ever really witness it, John, growing up. I remember, or maybe it's the old nostalgia thing, but when I was growing up, I was fairly aware. I kept up with the news even when I was in grade school. I loved the Weekly Reader and all that, and I got a sense. And I mean, maybe it's just that hindsight, but I have a sense. Maybe things were not only much better, but heck, my dad made, I don't know, he started out at that base making 96 cents an hour, the one I retired from in 1948, and lived just fine. Raised a, you know, with their raises, raised a family and bought a house and everything. And now you got to have two people doing that. My mother stayed at home.
That's right.
And now that I look at it, this place is, it's like the old Roman Empire. It's an overextension, you know. It overextended itself, and it reaches a tipping point, and then the whole thing starts downhill.
Do you know, when I was a kid, and I can remember this almost like it's yesterday, my mother worked for an attorney, and she made $50 a week. And she raised three kids by herself. Not only was she able to provide a roof, not only was she able to provide the clothing, the food, and a Christmas every year, she did that on $50 a week.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
I'll tell you one more thing. I'll let you go so you can get to the clip there, John. This country cannot survive as a service economy. I mean, we're not going to make it taking in each other's laundry.
That's right.
Unless we start, well, enough said. I mean, I can't think of that much more, so I'll let you go then.
Thank you, Clarence. I appreciate your call. Yeah, the memories of the good times are still deep within our souls, and that's the tragic thing. And I'm sure a lot of people would probably wish that they could get permanent amnesia so they couldn't remember what it was like yesteryear, you know, when we had better times. And you know, people... I hope people didn't mistake what I was saying about letting the women vote, because there was a lot more behind that, and I'm going to get into a little bit more of that today. Henry Mackow is on this network now, and I'm glad to only have, I only got the guy for an hour a week. He's on Sundays from 10 to 11 Central Time, but Henry never, ever wanted to do radio. Henry's quite a colorful character. He's a Jewish fellow that's living in Canada, and he had teaching jobs, which he got bounced out of, professorships. Why? Well, he was unpopular in Canada's new social strata because he spoke the truth. So I'll get around to his article as well, but I want to play this 60 Minutes clip. And folks, this will tell you the problem, and this originated in our Congress of the United States, but these are the very same people that are responsible for creating the problem that will not even hear anything, any questions about the problem. Here it goes.
When the stock market plunges like it did this past week, everyone pays attention. But short-term losses aren't that important to the man you're about to meet. David Walker thinks the biggest economic peril facing the nation is being ignored. And for this past year, he's been traveling the country like an Old Testament prophet, urging people to wake up before it's too late. Who is David Walker and why should we care? He's the nation's top accountant, the Comptroller General of the United States. He's totaled up the government's income, liabilities, and future obligations, and concluded that our current standard of living is unsustainable unless some drastic action is taken, and he's not alone. It's been called the dirty little secret everyone in Washington knows, a set of financial truths so inconvenient that most elected officials don't even want to talk about them, which is exactly why David Walker does.
I would argue that the most serious threat to the United States is not someone hiding in a cave in Afghanistan or Pakistan, but our own fiscal irresponsibility.
As Comptroller General of the United States, he runs the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, which audits the government's books and serves as the investigative arm of the U.S. Congress.
I'm going to show you some numbers. They're all big, and they're all bad.
So bad that Walker has given up on elected officials and taken his message directly to taxpayers and opinion makers.
Dave Walker, how are you? Good to see you.
Hoping to shape the debate in the next presidential election.
You know, the American people, I tell you, we've been to 13 cities outside of Washington this fiscal wake-up tour. They are absolutely starved for two things, the truth and leadership.
He calls it a fiscal wake-up tour, and he is telling civic groups, university forums, and newspaper editorial boards that the U.S. has spent, promised, and borrowed itself into such a deep hole it will be unable to climb out if it doesn't act now. As Walker sees it, the survival of the republic is at stake.
What's going on right now is that we're spending more money than we make, we're charging it to a credit card, and expecting our grandchildren to pay for it. And that's absolutely outrageous.
You've heard this before from Ross Perot 15 years ago.
In 1950, when the dollar was worth a dollar,
you might have even thought the problem had been solved.
Tonight I come before you to announce that the federal deficit will be simply zero.
Well, those days are gone. We've gone from surpluses to huge deficits, and our long-range situation is much worse.
President Bush would argue that the economy is in pretty good shape. Unemployment is down. The deficit is actually less than expected.
The fact is that we don't face an immediate crisis. And so people say, what's the problem? The answer is we suffer from a fiscal cancer. It is growing within us. And if we do not treat it, it could have catastrophic consequences for our country.
The cancer, Walker says, are massive entitlement programs we can no longer afford, exacerbated by a demographic glitch that began more than 60 years ago. A dramatic spike in the fertility rate called the baby boom. Beginning next year and for 20 years thereafter, 78 million Americans will become pensioners and medical dependents of the U.S. taxpayer.
The first baby boomer will reach 62 and be eligible for early retirement or Social Security January 1, 2008. They'll be eligible for Medicare just 3 years later. And when those boomers start retiring en masse, then that will be a tsunami of spending that could swamp our ship of state if we don't get serious.
To illustrate their impact, he uses a PowerPoint presentation to show what would happen in 30 years if the U.S. maintains its current course and fulfills all the promises politicians have made to the public on things like Social Security and Medicare.
What happens in 2040?
Well,
if nothing changes.
If nothing changes, the federal government's not going to be able to do much more than pay interest on the mounting debt and some entitlement benefits. It won't have money left for anything else. National defense, homeland security, education, you name it.
Walker says you could eliminate all waste and fraud and the entire Pentagon budget and the long-range financial projections barely change in what's shaping up as an actuarial nightmare.
There's not going to be enough wage earners to pay for the benefits of the baby boomers.
That's part of the problem. But the real problem, Steve, is health care cost. Our health care problem is much more significant than Social Security.
What do you mean by that?
By that I mean that the Medicare problem is five times greater than the Social Security problem.
The problem with Medicare, Walker says, is people keep living longer and medical costs keep rising at twice the rate of inflation. But instead of dealing with the problem, he says the president and the Congress made things much worse just 3 years ago when they expanded the Medicare program to include prescription drug coverage.
The prescription drug bill was probably the most fiscally irresponsible piece of legislation since the 1960s. The
Why?
Imbalance, well, because we promised way more that we can afford to keep. $8 trillion added to what was already a $15 to $20 trillion underfunding. We're not being realistic. We can't afford the promises we've already made, much less to be able to piling on top of them.
With one stroke of the pen, Walker says the federal government increased existing Medicare obligations nearly 40% over the next 75 years.
We'd have to have $8 trillion today invested at Treasury rates to deliver on that promise.
And how much do we have?
Zip.
Walker says we have promised almost unlimited health care to senior citizens who never see the bills, and the government is already borrowing money to pay them. He says the system is unsustainable.
It's the number one fiscal challenge for the federal government. It's the number one fiscal challenge for state governments, and it's the number one competitiveness challenge for American business. We're going to have to dramatically and fundamentally reform our health care system in installments over the next 20 years.
And if we don't?
And if we don't, it could bankrupt America.
You're probably expecting to hear from someone who disagrees with the Comptroller General's numbers, projections, and analysis. But hardly anyone does. He is accompanied on the wake-up tour by economists from the Conservative Heritage Foundation, the left-leaning Brookings Institution, and the nonpartisan Concord Coalition.
Let's go.
The only dissenter seemed to be a small minority of economists who believe either that the U.S. can grow its way out of the problem or that Walker is overstating it.
Unfortunately, they don't get it. I don't know anybody who has done their homework, has researched history, and who's good at math, who would tell you that we can grow our way out of this problem.
And we will be back. We'll take more of your calls, 800-313-9443.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
And how is the psychology of all this working on the people in this country that only have a little bit of the picture? Market Watch, Riva Foymamich, she writes that the Discover U.S. spending monitor fell to its lowest mark ever in January due to the deteriorating perceptions of the U.S. economy. And folks, let me remind you, this is in spite of the people not being told the truth about the economy. The monthly index compiled by Discover Financial Services dropped 4.4 points to 86.1 in the survey of 13,500 U.S. adults. Almost 71% of the respondents agreed that the U.S. economy is getting worse, and 48% believe the drop will affect their personal finances. Well, that's 52% of the people that are still cold but stupid. The index decline, that was my comment, the index decline coincided with a 6 percentage point shift in the economic outlook. More than 41% of consumers in January described the state of the U.S. economy as poor, compared with 35% in December. Jump what? Of 6% right there. The first time the poor rating has exceeded 40% since Discover began tracking sentiments. How people feel about what companies like Discover are doing. When asked if the Bush administration's proposed economic stimulus package might boost sentiment and spending, respondents said no. Consumers do not think that things are getting worse, said Margot Georgiadis, chief marketing officer for Discover Financial Services in Riverwoods, Illinois. She says even as the tax proposals came in, consumer sentiment did not respond. They're concerned about the current economic trends, are not likely to abate, and therefore seem cautious to improve their outlook. Well, that's an understatement. That includes the higher income bracket, according to the report. The index tracking sentiment for those with incomes of $75,000 or more dropped over 8% in January, marking the first time that this demographic has shown any real signs of economic concern since the U.S. credit crunch began last summer. Now, let me put this in terms, hard, fast, real terms. The people that were being affected the less by the economic downturn in this country, the ones that were insulated with enough money that they were still surviving and paying bills, well, you're starting to see their sentiment. Remember what I said before? A recession is when your neighbor loses a job. When you lose yours, it's a depression. Well, it's finally starting to sink in into mainstream and the more affluent Americans. They also were concerned about their personal finances, said this woman, and are actively planning to spend less on dining out, movies, travel, and home improvement. This group had previously shown resilience in the face of economic pressure. Just read that as they were still using their credit cards. That's really an important signal, she says, that is pessimism about the economy is stretched across all groups. Nearly 60% of this income group said they would hold February spending on par with January. Last month, the same sentiment was expressed by less than 45%, with others favoring to spend more. However, the downcast economic outlook did not fully affect overall spending patterns, according to the survey. And again, read that, credit cards. Of those surveyed, 81% of the consumers say they would spend the same or more next month, while almost 50% of the respondents did not expect added expenses or a sudden shortfall in income to affect their lifestyles. Man, do they have a rude awakening. We'll take the break. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Thursday. We'll go back to the phones. 800-313-9443. Glad you're with us today, folks. We're all in it together. They're hanging us all together. Not separately, but in mass. We'll be right back. Take home.